The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We'll be going through verses. We went through 1 through 4 last time. And so we're going to continue with verses 5 through 12 today. Now, I just want to do something that I thought was interesting for me, is that we're going to do a real quick eye test. So could you go to the next slide there? So if you wear glasses, take them off and see how far you can see. Okay, so just so that you know how blind I am, I can't see anything. I see white and some black shades. Anybody, can anybody without your glasses see the top line? Oh, okay, good. So just wanted to see how many people had better vision than I had. How many of you guys without your glasses can see the 20/20, the bottom line? Without your glasses? What? Man. You got to be able to read it. Can you read it? Who can read it? Oh, okay, a couple of you. Wow. Okay. How many, just really quick though, how many of you guys who raised your hand just now are actually farsighted? Yeah, okay, I knew some of you would be. All right. So the whole idea of this thing is understanding that for the most part, for me anyway, maybe not for a lot of you, but for me, my eyesight is better when I have my glasses on. And what I'm seeing more and more as we go through the book of Ecclesiastes is just how much we live in an all-is-vanity kind of world. You know, so much of life under the sun is meaningless, and that's what we've been seeing. It's just a vapor. It's just chasing the wind. But the question today is this: is there a way for us to live in an all-is-vanity kind of world? I mean, we know and we continue to see that this life just does not work without Christ, right? And we've been seeing this throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. It just doesn't work without Christ. But with Christ, how should we then live? Do we believe that there is a better way? And we as Christians, we know that the better way is to live in accordance with the Word of God, plain and simple, right? We believe that. The better way is to follow the Word of God, what the Word of God declares, what the Word of God says. So the question is, though, are we living in accordance to the wisdom that we find from the Word of God? Because, I mean, for me, it feels like we are consistently, or maybe I should say constantly, seeing comparisons of the right way to live. The right way, the wrong way. We see it all over the media. We see it in the news. You know, people making conclusions, judgments on right things, wrong things. Especially in politics, we see right things, wrong things. Whether it's right to do the wall, whether it's not right to do the wall, whether it's right to have the government shut down, whether it's not right to have the government shut down. I mean, this has been a fascinating time when you're looking at comparisons of right and wrong. Which way is the better way? And what we're seeing is we're seeing a lot of, but set up by the philosophies, the ideologies, and the brilliant ingenuity of man. And that's what we're seeing more and more. It never ceases to amaze me just how much worldly principles have penetrated our lives and have penetrated our minds. And what's scary is sometimes I wonder if we even know it's happening. You know, one of the tests that I constantly do for myself is when I feel strongly about something, or when I feel like this is the right way, this is the wrong way, and I feel strong about it, one of the things that I do is I try to think, what is my biblical basis for believing that? And it's funny. Sometimes it's just like, do I believe that that's wrong because the Bible says that it's wrong? Do I believe that that's right because the Bible says that it's right? Or do I believe that it's right because Oprah Winfrey said it was all right? Or do we think this is wrong because Larry King says it was wrong? You know, what are our reasons? And so what I find a lot of times is that there is a lot about what we believe, what we think is right and wrong, that actually do not come from the scriptures. And so I wonder if we really know, or do we really have a complete, or one of the ways we can flip on the light switch and expose everything. One of the best ways to do this is the book called the Proverbs. Right? Going through Proverbs, man, that is one place that switches on the light switch. Because I don't know, but I can tell sometimes when you're reading Proverbs, you feel that, like, that's not right. You know? Well, why are we doing that? We're saying that because there is worldly philosophy, worldly ideology that we believe. And when we see the Word of God, we're just like, that's not right. You see how the light just kind of comes on when you read the Proverbs. And a lot of people today struggle with the Proverbs. Like, you know, with things that the Proverbs will say that you'll look at and just be like, well, that's not the way everybody thinks today. Oh, that's not fair. You know, a lot of times I read the Proverbs and I'll be like, that's not fair. You know, especially when there's injustice and Proverbs is telling us to allow God to be the one that's going to cause the justice of your cause to shine like the noonday sun. So what we're going to do, though, is we're actually going to look at more of these today, because here in Ecclesiastes, Solomon is shifting a little bit, and now he's spending some time giving us some words of wisdom. So Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 5 to 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 5 to 12, by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. A fool's laughter is quickly gone, like thorns crackling in a fire. This also is meaningless. Extortion turns wise people into fools, and bribes corrupt the heart. Finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. Control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. Don't long for the good old days. This is not wise. Wisdom is even better when you have money. Both are a benefit as you go through life. Wisdom and money can get you almost anything, but only wisdom can save your life. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. And God, I pray that these words will penetrate our hearts today. Father, that we will be continue to progress, continue to be transformed. And Father, that faith will continue to increase within us, Lord. And we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the light that it shines, in Jesus' name. Corrective lenses of wisdom, and how the corrective lenses leads us away from foolishness, which we, believe it or not, see a lot of today. The second thing we're going to look at is we're going to analyze the far-sighted, the long-term, the looking-ahead nature of wisdom. Third, we're going to see the value of wisdom's 2020 clarity. Okay, that wisdom's outlook and wisdom's view on everything is 2020. And finally, we will rejoice in the power and wisdom of God, because that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the thesis today is this: though deception and the pattern of this world cause our worldview to become distorted and blurry with sin's astigmatism. It always messes with us, doesn't it? It is the Holy Spirit and wisdom's corrective lenses that will help us to see the way, the truth, and the life found only in the power and wisdom of God, which is Christ our Lord. So, number one, wisdom's corrective lenses. So what Solomon, what the preacher is saying here is that to receive correction, then we are. And this is a big one. This is a huge one. Are we able to receive correction? Some of your translations will say criticism. Are we able to receive criticism? So Solomon is continuing with the better than. So that's why the whole theme is the better. So everything is better. The better than comparisons, the better than juxtapositions. And we saw that it was better to have integrity than precious perfumes. We saw that it was better to go to funerals than it was to go to parties. We saw that sorrow is better than laughter. We saw that thinking about death is better than thinking about having a good time. And so now Solomon is moving to a different place. There's a slight change that's happening here. And he's wanting us to receive some corrective lenses so that we can see life a little bit clearer. So in verses 5 to 6 in chapter 7, verses 5 to 6, the Word of God says again, better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. A fool's laughter is quickly gone like thorns crackling in fire. This is also meaningless. So, man, we live in a world that don't like it. I mean, for many of us, we can't take it. I mean, it's just difficult. I just can't take the criticism. And no matter how constructive, no matter how wise or how smart the people might be, we still don't like it. We just don't like to have criticism. Even when we put ourselves in a position where we actually are to receive criticism, we don't like it. That's the reason why, for me, when it's like, you know, when you watch shows like, you know, America's Got Talent or American Idol, you know, and they get up there and they sing, and then the judges criticize, and they get mad. And I'm like, well, you kind of put yourself in a position to get criticized. So here's the thing that I thought was really interesting. These are judges that know they would recognize good singing, and what they would rather hear is praise from people who don't know any better. That's why they get upset, right? I mean, it's just like, what do they want? They want the judges to lie to them and say, hey, you're a great singer. And then you go out there and make a fool of yourself. So this is the thing. It's funny. We just don't like criticism. You see, even on Twitter, they have Twitter accounts. People criticize, you know, how they played. You know, like on Tuesday morning, you saw the Twitter, the whole thing going on with the Broncos and the Raiders. And, you know, on Monday night, I knew this would be a good plug for Josh. But the criticism that came, you know, the criticism of the coach, and everyone's firing back, taking it personal. So again, we just live in a culture where people, we just don't like criticism. We just can't take it. But see, Solomon is giving us a nugget of wisdom here. He gives us some corrective lenses. The point of these verses is that wisdom's rebuke or wisdom's correction is better than folly's laughter. Right? It's better than folly's laughter. One of the best ways to learn how to live well in life under the sun is to receive correction from people who are wiser than we are. Man, but that's hard, though, isn't it? Oh, yes, I get correction. You know, people think, oh, Shane, you know, just pastor of the church, all this. No, believe me, pastors get criticism. We get Betty continues, and in her wisdom, I wish she was here. In her wisdom, she's right about my hair. I need to take criticism better. But to receive criticism from people who are wiser than we are, can we take that? So this is what he's saying. He's saying we need to look and see this, this outlook on life that seems to go against our culture today. Because it almost seems like people would rather hear the praise of fools than, more literally in the Hebrew, the song of fools. People singing, fools singing praises to you. So he's saying that, you know, we may like that, but he's saying that criticism from wise people, criticism from wisdom, is a lot better than all those people out there doing everything they can to say what you want to hear and to make you feel good about what it is that you're doing. I mean, the picture here is vivid. When we put on wisdom's corrective lenses, what we're seeing here is it suggests foolish things that people say or people sing, or better yet, the idea kind of has to cite the idea in the original songs that they sing when they've had too much booze to drink. So that's what he's saying. So would you rather have the praise of people who are like this, who are like that? Could be, you know, more of the songs of, or the singing of people who support irreverency or ungodly lyrics, violence, sex, drugs, all kind of idolatry. Solomon is saying, it's better to receive criticism from wisdom than to receive the praise of the foolishness or immorality of this world. Are we seeking praise from these kinds of people? You know, it's amazing to me how many of us would rather have the praise of the foolish in the world than wisdom's rebuke. You know, people who don't know that are praising you, but people who do know are criticizing. And we just close our ears to the people that know and open our ears to the fools that are you know, praising. This is one of the things that I thought was really interesting. For many of you, you know that when I was younger, I used to travel in a Christian band, and we used to travel around the country, and you know, we used to preach the gospel while we... And what never ceased to amaze me when we were on opening up our hearts, our eyes, and our minds to know that all music, all lyrics, all of that stuff should be glorifying God. And God had opened up our hearts and our minds to this truth, that that's what it's there for. And what a privilege it was for us to be in a Christian band, to proclaim the glory of God, to be out there preaching the gospel and doing all this type of stuff. But it never ceased to amaze me how many of our band friends on other bands, what they would do, the compromises they would make so they could get the praise and acceptance from the secular world. Never ceases to amaze me. I mean, we see this even today with our Christian singers and artists and stuff like that, of things that they're doing, compromises that they're making. I mean, I'm sorry for, you know, Lauren Daigle fans. I know that, you know, she's great song, you know, writer, all that kind of stuff, but I was troubled by the performance she did on Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know if you saw that, but here it is, a Christian woman who sings to the glory of God, and she wore this shirt that was, I mean, guys, it was like, you know, the things that we will do, the compromises that we make in order to gain what? The acceptance from the world? People who adore the violence, immorality, idolatry, so we can gain that, you know. And then the following week, she's having an interview. She's having an interview, I think, with TMZ or something like that. She was doing an interview, and they asked her if she believed that homosexuality was wrong, and she did the, well, I don't know. That's God. That's God's decision. The compromise that we make to gain acceptance from the world? Do you see that? It's common. It happens a lot. It happens a lot more than we think. And see, I just picked on Lauren Daigle because that was just the most recent thing that we've seen. But family, this has been going on for years. It's been going on for years. I won't say the name of the band, but one of the band, they became really popular. We used to tour with them. You know, we did, you know, Cornerstone and all of that kind of stuff with them. And anyway, so we play shows with them, and then they, you know, Christian band, are out famous with the secular world, and they're just like, oh, well, we're, then they came out in an interview, and they just say, hey, we're tired of everyone calling us a Christian band. We're not a Christian band. And, you know, I'm watching the interview, I'm going, well, that's what y'all were doing back when we, and he goes, we're not a Christian band. We're a band of Christians. Let me tell us, here it is. Solomon is telling us why we don't want to desire the laughter of fools. When we encounter a metaphor like this, we need to look for the point of comparison. And so the question then becomes, how is foolish laughter like an open fire fueled by branches from a thorn bush? This is why he's saying you don't want to have the praise and the laughter of fools, because he compares it to an open fire fueled by branches from a thorn bush. Now, this is very, very pertinent here. He's giving us a vivid, vivid description or a vivid comparison. People will say, well, how do you mean? One commentator writes this. Number one, the noise. I couldn't stop laughing when it was. It may not be funny to you, but it was funny to me. That one commentator wrote, the noise made by the crackling of a fire is like, so he says, number one, first thing, they sound the same. But more importantly, what he's saying here is a fire that's made of small thorns is very short-lived. You know, those were the things when you go camping and you needed to start a fire. You go for the small little thorny bushes because those were the ones that lit really fast. But they weren't going to last long enough for you to cook anything on it. Right? So sure, you're going to have a small little bush of thorns and it's going to fire up really quickly. Another commentator said, this shows how quickly the fire goes. He's also saying it's a comparison that the fool is ready to laugh at anything. And he said, and what he says is, it will not keep burning for long, the way that fire does when it's fueled by logs or burning coals. The thorny burning does not give off very much heat, and it doesn't last very long. Martin Luther says it's more flame than fire. So why do we long for the praise of the world or laughter of the fools? Because we see it in the scripture. It is with fools in the way of the world that we find in scripture. Sure, with the fools and the laughter and all this stuff, yeah, it has all the frivolity. Laughter may come easy to, does not last long. And you know what's interesting? It's like one of the biggest the phenomena of the 80s is these things, are these groups or these bands that we refer to today as one-hit wonders. They come, the fire goes, it's great, it's burning, you see the flames, and then 2 months later, it's done. Over. Not even popular anymore. Nobody cares. See, and that's the thing that's interesting, is it's funny. It's like, hey guys, we're out here, you know, when we're in the band and we're talking to some of these, you know, some of our band friends, and we're just like, look, you're over there, we're chasing after something that even if you get it, if you get the acceptance and the popularity from the world, even when you get it, it doesn't last very long. Right? Okay, I'm gonna break my rule here. I'm gonna name a name. Yeah, so I don't know if you guys are familiar with a Christian band called POD. They kind of came, got super popular with the "We Are the Youth of a Nation." No, see, you guys don't even know. That's how short-lived it was. Burning bridges, because they were on top of the world, they received the acceptance from and the popularity from the world, and it was short-lived. Now we don't hear anything from these guys anymore. That's why you don't want it. Even if you get it, It's not going to last. So why do we long for the praise of the world? Sure, laughter may come easy. Yeah, sure, laughter and the praise of the fool, it does feel good for a time. But the issue is he who laughs the loudest doesn't necessarily mean he's going to laugh the longest. And man, did our Lord deal with this in Luke chapter 6, verse 25. Luke chapter 6, verse 25. Oh man, it gets even more serious. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now, for your laughing will turn into mourning and sorrow. Man, it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. And wisdom helps us to look out for this. See, our Savior, and Jesus is talking about the fires of final judgment, when foolish laughter is going to perish forever. So what Solomon is saying is better to see correct and perish forever. So family, we see that wisdom's corrective lenses, it'll show us some things. It's better to listen to someone who cares enough to confront us and is able to tell us to get serious about life and death. It's better to listen to the constructive criticism of a godly friend, which could actually mean life or death. It's better to listen to the wise who will tell us that living for pleasure and working for selfish gain are meaningless. It's just striving after the wind. It's better to listen to the wise who tell us that God has a time for everything, including a time to be born and a time to die. It's better to listen to the wise who will tell us that two are better than one when facing trials of many kinds. It's better to listen to the wise who will tell us that because God is in heaven and we are on earth, we should be careful about what we say. It's better to listen to the wise who's going to tell us that money will never satisfy our souls. Wisdom will not burn out quickly because it teaches us not to live for today. Wisdom teaches us to live for eternity. Man. Wise. Let's have some wisdom here. The corrective lenses. It doesn't feel good. You know, a lot of this stuff is sure, it doesn't feel good. But we can see, sometimes it's just, we gotta just adjust. You know, I think about that all the time. It's just like sometimes when you get new glasses, you have to adjust. And there's a time of headaches, time of all of that stuff, but a time to adjust. It doesn't feel good maybe at first. But in the end, family, the fruit that we bear for all eternity. Okay, number two, wisdom's not only corrective, but it also is far-sighted. Wisdom is always calling us to look ahead. Finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. Solomon here, when he talks about the end of something, he's talking about its result or its outcome, the end game, or the final product. That's what he's talking about. And this principle is illuminated all throughout Scripture. Man, wisdom always looks ahead. Always looks ahead. Many things that we see, many things that we experience, things that we uncover, things that we discover, a lot of these things don't seem, it's something amazing. It's especially true of anything that has the blessing of God. I mean, even with Christian life, it's like that. Things that we're going through, things that we start, you know, when we start new ventures, when we start new ministries, when we started this stuff, a lot of the stuff at the very beginning, it doesn't seem like it's worth it, doesn't seem like it's well. You know, I'm sure Chris and Susie can tell us about when they first started their ministry, how, you know, at the very beginning, maybe it didn't seem like it was supposed to be or seem like how I had imagined, all of these types of things. But then when you look now at the end, that's what the Lord is calling us here to do, is to look. We don't know what it is that God is going to do, but we do know that if God's hand is in it, it's going to be amazing. How do you know that? Because Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Romans 8, 28, one of my favorite verses that I constantly quote all the time, especially when things don't seem like they're going well. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together. You know, this is another thing. Do you remember when the Israelites were set free from captivity in Babylon and construction began? And some people were actually doubting whether this would actually be impressive at all. Doubting whether this was going to be a good thing. And so Zechariah, he even had to write in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Zechariah 4, verse 10, he says this, do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Don't despise these small, little beginnings. And what happened, family? Yeah, sure, it started small. It started, you know, maybe not as impressive, but in the end, family, the temple was a sight to see. Wisdom looks ahead. I mean, isn't this not the clear principle of normal Christian life? Isn't it true that sometimes just a small steps of obedience or small steps in faith eventually lead to a stronger life of prayer or greater works of generosity or greater works for the kingdom? It started off really small. You know, it was just a small little thing that happened. You know, we see it with our families. We see our sons and daughters who have much to learn, but then in life they gradually kingdom of God. Start small, but eventually it becomes a big deal. You know, I think sometimes it's just like, wow, you know, one day my son, he could be like a deacon or an elder at the church. That's kind of crazy. I mean, what are they going to do? Talk about like superhero movies all in their meetings? You know, they need to have meetings like the deacons and the elders now. We don't talk about superheroes. We talk about fishing. Not just fishing. I just got to defend the deacons. We don't just talk about fishing, you know, just sometimes. Don't we see it? Small little things in even church planting. You know, when we see this is a huge movement of church planting where the vision and prayers of just a group of people eventually does produce a congregation. We see that it's small at the very beginning, but in the end, it turns out to be something amazing. And let me do this. The last example for this, family, the best example of this is God's wonderful plan of salvation. Go to Bethlehem. What do you see? Young bride, their husband, humble stable, lowly shepherd. Looking at that scene, who would ever imagine that this was the start of an empire and a massive kingdom? Who would ever thought that the baby would become a king and that by offering himself as a sacrifice, he would gain the forgiveness of sins for people all over the world? Wisdom looks ahead. In the end, it's much better than the beginning. What began with the coming of Christ, the baby in the manger, will end with the consummation of his eternal kingdom when Christ comes back for his church. Amen. Wisdom looks ahead. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 32. Matthew 13, verses 31 to 32. Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and makes nests in its branches. Starts off small, but man, it turns out to be something amazing. And this grows into a tree, and the birds come and make its nests in branches is an allusion to a prophecy that was given by Zechariah, where it represents the picture of nations. That's how big this kingdom would. It would be full of nations. is also 2020. Number three, wisdom's 2020. Wisdom preserves the life of the one who has it. So he extends these exhortations by restating the value of wisdom. It's 2020. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 11 to 12. Wisdom is better when you have money. Both are a benefit as you go through life. Wisdom and money can get you almost anything, but only wisdom can save your life. So the connection, this is one thing I thought was really interesting, is the connection that the preacher makes here is very surprising. Because after everything else that he has said about money and the way it fails to satisfy our souls, we hardly would expect him to actually say that wisdom is like money. You know, I thought it was curious when he said that. Wisdom's, you know, like money. You know, both are a benefit as you go through life. And so he's talking about how it's a benefit. And the preacher knows that money doesn't last forever. But what he's saying is, as long as we have it, money is useful in providing some protection and some provision for our practical difficulties in life. Right? See, here's the thing that we've got to do. One of the most misquoted scriptures in all the Bible. Money is not the root of evil. See, that's what they say. Money is the root of all evil. No, money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money which is the root of all evil. So as we see, like money, wisdom is protection for our souls. Provides. It's a useful tool for our lives. That's what money is. Money is essentially a tool, right? It's just funny. It's just kind of like, you know, when you look at money, money is a tool. And when we look at money as being the source of our life, my dad always talked about how money is a tool, you know, like, you know, just like one of those hammers and one of those screwdrivers. And you know, when I think about that, I always think that that's kind of funny. Because essentially, money is a tool, and if we're, you know, basing our life and we're saying that this tool is the source, it's like picking up a hammer and saying, this is the source of my life. The whole reason I live is for this hammer. And people would be like, yeah, we need to get you some help. I can get you an appointment with Pastor Shane. It's just a tool. So wisdom is like that. It's a protection for our soul. It guards against the folly of rash anger. It helps us to take a long term. I always recommend to people that you should read the Proverbs every single day. And what's amazing about the Proverbs is that there's 31 Proverbs. You can go through the book of Proverbs every month. You know, so you know, if today is the 30th, then we should have read Proverbs chapter 30 today. Tomorrow, read Proverbs chapter 31. And you know, and whatever day it is, that's how I always do. Sometimes I'll forget, but you know, then you just flip the day and then you read the Proverbs. And then people, well, what about the months that only have 30 days? Well, Shane, what about the months that have only 28? At that point, I can't help you. I just can't. I can't help you. And you know what? When February 28th hits and that's over, then just go to March 1st if it makes you feel better. Just read the Proverbs, because the Proverbs are helpful, and it's wisdom, and it helps us. Then one scholar wrote, by laying death to heart and looking ahead to what God has planned for us in Christ, we will live wisely. And here's a big one for us as Christians: then we will die well. We all know that, right? Every single person, we all agree that we're all going to die someday. And that's the one thing about us as Christians, man. We need this thing. The power and wisdom of God. An amazing thing. This is the thing that I love. This is the thing that with the scriptures that never ceases to amaze, it just boggles my mind as to how all of these things come together. You know, when the Bible says that everything in scripture is about Christ, it is. If you look, it's there, man. It comes out. And one of the most beautiful things we see actually comes to life. And one of the things I get, you know, most scrutinized with my pastor friends is like, you know, Shane, you always say that everything in the Bible, you know, has to do with Christ, you know, but how do you deal with the Proverbs? How do you teach Christ from the Proverbs? How do you teach Christ from the wisdom literature? Gets to the point sometimes it's like, I can't, if you don't see this, I can't help you. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. That means the book of Proverbs is about Christ. It's the wisdom of God. How could we not see the glory of Christ in this? How could we not see the beauty of Christ in all of this? Because if Christ is the ultimate standard of measure when it comes to wisdom, he is the wisdom of God. And everything is to be measured against him. And so if we see this, and we recognize this, and we know this, then we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12, in verse 12 it says, wisdom and money can get you almost anything, but only wisdom can save your life. Only wisdom can save your life. Man, I tell you what, the more I do this, the more I see this, man, the Holy Spirit, he knows what he's doing. Only wisdom can save your life. Money can't do it. Pleasure can't do it. Laughter can't do it. Foolishness definitely can't do it. Only wisdom can do this. And family, look at this. And here, only the ultimate of wisdom can ultimately save our lives. Because only Christ and Christ alone, the man, what a picture of salvation here. What an amazing picture of the salvation that comes from God. The salvation that belongs to God. Because when it comes to salvation, family, Christ is not the better way. Christ is the only way. Salvation belongs to the Lord. That's why I love that saying there. Only wisdom can save your life. Christ is the wisdom of God. Only Christ can save our lives. Sin and its foolishness, the pattern of the world, the philosophies of the world, it all causes us to be deceived and led astray in rebellion towards God. This is why, you know, we crave the praise of fools. Why we love money. Why we don't look ahead in life. Why we don't value wisdom. Why we don't love God and our neighbor. Because of that thing, sin, and the pattern of this world. And unfortunately, here's the bad part. All of this sin incurs the dreadful wrath of God. Eternal condemnation, eternal death, and we are all subject to it. The scriptures declare, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. In Colossians, it says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. But only wisdom can save our lives. Only wisdom can save our lives. Yes, in this situation only, the wisdom of God, which is Christ, can save us. And he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes, there is hope for us today because he became sin who knew no sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and he was raised on the third day, all according to the scriptures. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And you know, the wonderful promises continued for those who have not heard. The Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Family, salvation is here. So we see wisdom is truly the better way. Hopefully we can fix our vision. Wisdom helps us to see farther. Wisdom helps us to see clearer. And now we see that wisdom will also save our lives. In the day-to-day, but also we see for all eternity. He is and always will be the one who brings us life and life more abundant, because salvation belongs to the Lord. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.